GNC 553. It's Thursday, February 18th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. Yes, folks, I'm on the road in Central Texas. I got a great show for you tonight. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the heart of Texas via my portable podcasting studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. You can sign up for our newsletter as well. That newsletter gets you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. And really, that's the best way to get the show notes of everything I cover during the show. And of course, being subscribed ensures that you always have the podcast available on your portable media device. You know, why do I feel like I'm starting to show off? Kind of strange tonight. I guess it's just one of those things. I'm sitting here trying to manhandle two different things at one time, and it's just one of those starts to the show. Hey everybody, welcome to the show. And of course, we want to welcome all the new listeners. Want to welcome the HANA. Of course, we want to welcome listeners from 161 countries worldwide. We do have the stream going up on Ustream. For those of you up on Ustream, welcome to the show. And probably no pizzas delivered to the room tonight, because I'm not in advertising where the heck I'm at. Yeah, that was quite the event from the last live show, where one of the folks that were following on Ustream decided that I needed pizzas delivered to my house. And a little antidote to that, we had an interesting development, because unknowns to me, during the show, my wife had actually called the number to the folks that had, or to the number that had ordered a pizza, and they had said that the pizzas were a Valentine's gift for me, and that she didn't know at the time when she made the call that they weren't paid for. So, make a long story short, when she hung up with that telephone number, she then, of course, talked to the pizza guy and said, "Oh, no, they haven't been paid for. You got to pay for them," which brought her into the office where you guys were watching on the last show. So, make a long story short, you know, I was kind of confused what was going on during the show. We talked about it a little bit. We had two pizza deliveries to the house. We sent them both back, and later on I talked to both of the companies and basically tried to explain what was going on, and they put some measures in place to hopefully prevent that from happening again. But as you guys know, near the end of the show, or actually after the show was recorded, and those that hung out on Ustream, I actually dialed the same number my wife had done. And again, I didn't know she had called. And if you remember, the person tried to play off that that he'd been getting pizzas delivered to his house as well, and chicken wings and a bunch of other stuff. So in fact, I think the person that we called was the actual person that did the dirty deed of sending some pizzas unpaid for to my home, which really wasn't cool. It really, really wasn't. But there's a joker born every day, and hopefully we won't have that incident happening again. Pretty sad, because, you know, it's basically a couple of, you know, pizza delivery guys ended up not getting a tip and using gas to come to my place to deliver something that that we did not order. So, yeah, that's kind of an update on that. Other than that, everything's good. I'm here in Texas, been taking care of a little business this week. I'm headed right back to Honolulu tomorrow morning. When I flew into DFW on Tuesday morning, one thing that was new is we used to always go into Terminal B. And this time, they've since United and Continental have become, I guess, partner airlines, we actually went to Terminal E. And usually the United guys are pretty quick. You get out of the airplane. I mean, it's like you walk right out of the gate. You walk right through some double doors, and you're right there where baggage claim is. You can be in baggage claim within 2 minutes of leaving the airplane. And same result in Terminal E. So I, okay, no big change here. 45 minutes later, it took him that 2 minute walk from me getting to the, from the airplane to baggage claim. 45 minutes later, the bag started to finally come out, and took a long time. And then getting over to the rental car place, it just seemed like it was forever. It took me an hour and 36 minutes to get out of DFW. That is the, like, you know, 30 minutes is about my norm. But an hour 36, I was pretty aggravated. And part of it was my own fault, too, because I got to the rental car agency at about 45, about an hour in. And normally I rent with Hertz or Avis, and I have basically their quick pass stuff where I can go right to the car. They've already got my stuff on file. But the folks that made my reservations had actually put me on budget, and I have never rented with budget before and wasn't in their system, and they were out of vehicles. How are you out of vehicles when you know people have got vehicles reserved? That, to me, I don't fully understand. But anyway, waited. Again, hour and 36, and I was finally on the road to back down to heading out to where I was going to go in McKinney and then several other places here in the Central Texas area in around Dallas-Fort Worth. But again, going to be heading out tomorrow morning. Got to be at the airport not too early, really, 11 a.m., which is great. Get back to Honolulu about 9 p.m. Friday. Now, we do have a roundtable scheduled for Saturday. So 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, we're going to be having our Tech Podcast Roundtable. I got to get with the guys and find out exactly what's going on. I know that we've got a few guests that are going to be on the event, so we'll keep an eye on that. But look forward to putting the roundtable on Saturday for you. Of course, a lot of crazy news out of Austin here today with the pilot that crashed his airplane on purpose into a building. Not a good scene. Of course, it's dominating the local news here, along with national news as well. This week has just been one thing after the other, really, because as I've been, you know, getting back to the hotel room and it ending up with a pile of email, quarter two requests for proposals came in. Along with that, we picked up a new advertiser. So we're going to be introducing a new advertiser in March. We're going to be bringing Audible.com on as a sponsor. So we look forward to introducing you to Audible in March and having some really cool deals. We've got some special things planned that you're not going to be able to find anywhere else, only through shows that are advertising on Audible with Raw Voice and our podcast communities. So we look forward to that. So let me look at my little short list of notes here. Of course, a welcome to all the Ohana. I want to, of course, make sure all of you guys are welcome to the show. Oh, it would not go without saying, show 552. About 25,000 of you downloaded the show before I was able to get the audio changed out. And actually, I did it in the red carpet lounge when I was in Denver, because on the last show, in an hour and 3 minutes, I guess my voice went to super slow. I have no idea what happened with the encoding. I thought we had a good recording, but I was able to salvage and pull the recording off, and actually the video encode that we'd done. So yeah, I'm going to have to double checking the encodes. Not quite sure what happened there, but apologize for those of you that ended up with some trashed audio at the 1 hour and 3 second mark. Just keep advised that we will be, really, when it's something like that goes on, and as soon as you let me know, I will replace the file. But what happens is that many of you are automatically getting the file downloaded to you, so you know the damage is really pretty much done until I'm able to get it changed out. But yeah, we got piles and piles and piles and piles and piles of email. If I didn't respond to everyone, definitely appreciate your patience with me over the audio screw up on the last show. Okay, let's see here. I think that's it for my regular lineup of stuff just to yak about here. That's all I've got in my list. So anyway, we'll get into the regular content here in just a moment. It is kind of funny because when I travel now, I've tried to slim my portable rig down even more. I'm learning what I don't use. I'm just carrying cables and stuff for months on end and never having used them. So this time I think I got the portable rig down to just about the right size. And the The laptop is now working great. Actually, right here in town, I've got WiMAX going. Tonight, we're being streaming the show on Sprint WiMAX, which is amazing. The hotel internet is two thumbs down, and I'm in a Hilton property. That's all I'm really going to say in case the pizza guy gets back on chat here and tries to send a pizza out. But so far the stream seems to be working pretty good on Sprint WiMAX, which is pretty cool. Now, I think they're testing it because it was up for a while, and this is what was happening in Vegas when they first rolled Vegas on. Sprint WiMAX would work for, 18 hours a day, and then all of a sudden it quit working. And I'm hoping I get through the show before they shut the system down during their test period, but we'll keep our fingers crossed here. Hey, if you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated account, GoDaddy.com is really where you need to go. If you're looking for those types of services, GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here and will definitely appreciate your business with them. And you can save a lot of money by using my promo codes out there. Matter of fact, I had an interesting situation happen yesterday. I got an email from one of the readers of the website. He said, "Hey, Todd, Geek News Central has been loading slow for like 15 hours. What's going on?" And I had been busy. I didn't really pay attention to what was going on with the website. And sure enough, I loaded it. And immediately I could see that one of the servers that basically serves up the ads was not operating. I tried to shell in, had no access. So I logged right into GoDaddy's remote control launch center, I guess, for a better word. Got in there and hit the restart button so that the server could be manually restarted. And I waited a few minutes. I was getting a little anxious. I had to head out the room. And they had an online sales online tech support right there. So I clicked on the little button and pop right up came a little window. And there was a guy chatting with me within about 30 seconds. He says, "Hey, what's going on?" I said, "Hey, my server's not responding. I've done a restart, but it hasn't come back up yet." And he said, "Oh, it takes a few minutes. Just hang out." And he said, "Let me check on it." And he said, "Oh, yeah, it's recycling now. And go ahead and test it." And I said, "Yep, it's up. It's going." He said, "Well, do you want me to run a diagnostic on it and find out what's going on?" And I said, "Well, probably not. I haven't rebooted the thing in probably a year." So he said, "Okay." And I said, "Well, I'll just go in and check it anyway and do, personally, I was going to go in and check it and look at it and finished up." So right there, I was able to, bam, instantly online, get tech support for my dedicated server. And that was, it was beautiful. It really, really was. No headache, no hassle. And that's how GoDaddy works. No headaches, no hassles, great products and services. And you can save money online with their products by using my promo codes. You can use promo code Todd to save 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you money on a one-year shared hosting account. ComSale will get you $7.49 domains really 24/7, either on renewals or new purchases. Along with that, this weekend, obviously, we're going to be having our roundtable, and that event is sponsored by GoToMeeting, a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. This week really has been kind of a quiet week. I haven't had a need to actually have any third-party meetings or having meetings with people outside of area here that I'm at, and so it's been good. But really, if you want to save money, you want to save time, you want to have to keep from getting in the car and driving someplace, or you have to prevent, you want to stop from flying somewhere, really, GoToMeeting is a great online conferencing tool. It's a product I've been using for a long time. It's a product I stand behind, and really, you need to try it out. We give you a free 30-day demo by going over to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast, and the cool part about it is not only can you share your screen with the person you want to share it with, but you can share it up to 25 other people on their basic program. And $49 a month. Again, you get a free 30-day trial with that, though. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. And thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here of the Geek News Central. As a final note before we get into the regular content tonight, you'll notice I put no more videos up this week. I guess it'll be this weekend again before I get more stuff up. But time is ticking. I need to get everything online. And it just seems like I had such a great start. And then still, I've got like 40 more videos to put up on the website. It's horrible. And I might have to reach out and get some help to get that finished up. All right, let's talk about Sony a little bit. Sony has announced today that they're going to end OLED sales in Japan. Now, those of you that have been following the show for a long time, and basically 3 years ago, we introduced the Sony OLED monitors out at CES, and they're just absolutely incredible monitors. I've always wanted one for my desk. I've never been able to afford one. But Sony is going to end OLED sales in Japan, not in the United States yet. But, you know, their $2,500 to $3,000 purchase probably scared the majority of Japanese customers off, considering the economy in Japan is suffering as bad as it is here in the United States still. So we'll see what happens with the U.S. sales, whether or not they drop that as well. But an interesting announcement by Sony to end OLED sales in Japan. Now, if you're a Facebook user and you're using and buying products on Facebook, I didn't even know you could do this. I guess you can buy virtual goods in some of these gaming sites or something. But anyway, PayPal is going to be used to feed Facebook ads and virtual goods. So you'll be able to buy advertising or to buy virtual goods via PayPal through Facebook. For the first time ever, Facebook was used, at least an experience I had, to be informed of a friend of mine's untimely death on Monday morning, Tuesday very early in the morning. A good friend of mine that I went to high school with that I've seen from time to time, who was real good friends when I was a teenager, passed away, leaving twin daughters and a wife. And Eric's I was informed via classmates via Facebook, and normally that news probably would have never reached me unless my mom had read something in the newspaper or someone had sent me an email. Living in Hawaii and having, you know, grown up in Michigan, 5 years ago, I don't think I would have heard about his death for maybe weeks or even months. And so it was very amazing to really get that info almost instantly from folks that I know back in my hometown, and able to basically arrange for flowers. And at some point here, hopefully there'll be a fund set up for his wife and be able to contribute to that. But all the classmates that I had were interconnecting, at least the ones that were on Facebook, and we were chatting and talking about Eric and the good times that we had growing up and his life. But very interesting dynamic, really, here over the last couple of days for me for using Facebook. And at least for me, anyway, first time I've ever been informed of someone that has passed away. What are you guys using Facebook primarily for? Are you connecting with old friends, family members? Is this type of information you're sharing? Love to hear some of the firsts that you've had using Facebook and some of the unique things that you're doing with Facebook.com. So anyway, drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. All right, announced yesterday, Google is buying our email. It's the iPhone app. What's really weird about this purchase is, you know, a lot of people like our email, and I've actually got it loaded on my iPhone, and it's designed to replace and be a, not replace, but to be an alternate email application for the, instead of using the one on the Apple email product. And Google bought it and immediately pulled it from the App Store. And many people are perplexed why they pulled that. So I just wonder how long it's going to be before we'll see our email again. Maybe they're going to remove it and drop some new branding in or something and resubmit it. I don't know. But again, it was a great alternative to the iPhone's built-in mail client. We'll see what happens with it when it's re-released and integrated with Google products. All right, how many of you parents have kids that get computers from the school? In Hawaii, yeah, right. They don't have to keep the teachers teaching 5 days a week, let alone get the kids computers for class. No one in Hawaii. I told, you know, my daughter said, "Do you want to, you know, take a laptop to class?" And she goes, "Dad, no one takes laptops to school." I'm like, "Really? They're not using laptops?" kids aren't taking notes with laptops. Or, no, don't embarrass me. Don't make me take a laptop to school. So I was kind of, wondering about that. But anyway, long story short here, is there is a school district in Pennsylvania. I guess it's the Blake J. Robbins School District. The parents of a Pennsylvania high school student, Blake J. Robbins, is filing a lawsuit against his school district after discovering, check this out, that school officials had been remotely accessing the laptop in order to take webcam photos of the students at home. Now, you know, and I know, that if they are turning the webcam on high schoolers at home, someone needs to go to jail. Because, all right, boys, one thing. But girls, you know, I guess it's sick no matter what. So the school, Marion School District, has not responded to the request for information. This is from Ars Technica. And apparently the school is under some big investigation here about this. But, wow, if this turns out to be true, I could see someone going to, first of all, what happens if your daughter or son has taken a shower and they're dressed in their pajamas or whatever they're dressed in and taking images while they're using a laptop? Not cool. Very sick. So we'll see what happens with this. Someone should go over this. And boy, oh boy, shocking. Kids, if you got a laptop from school, put some tape over that camera, all right? All right, a report out on CNET.com. Steve Jobs is saying, essentially, the reason why the iPad does not have flash video technology is because that using full-blown flash on the iPad causes the CPU utilization to spike, and battery usage goes from 10 hours to an hour and a half. And that is the primary reason why they haven't enabled flash. At least that's his excuse. Now, this is not necessarily true depending upon how they integrate flash. It depends if it's hardware-based, software-based. There's various ways to integrate to playback of Flash. So we'll see what develops here, but I'm sure the folks over at Adobe will have a response. So hang on one second, folks. I'm going to go over here, and we've got I'm going to do something. So I have just booted the pizza delivery guy that is on the chat, so he's gone. He actually showed up into chat, so I just booted him from the Ustream chat. So we'll see if that worked out. Okay, next article up. Hey, you guys remember I was talking about that Microsoft blue screen of death was tied to an update? The big update they had last Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday. Well, Microsoft has confirmed that the blue screen of death issue reported last week is the result of a rootkit. In other words, only machines that were infected with a rootkit called Aleron, Aleron, were affected. So this is what caused the computers from booting. So if your computer was one of those that would not boot after last Tuesday's update, you'll want to pay attention here, because you are most likely infected with the Aleron, Aleron, malware. So be advised there. And that's basically a worm that gets deep into the operating system, and it's probably going to be pretty nasty to get rid of that. So we'll see what happens with this. There's a good article about this and how to get this removed, and some software out there, and they link you to it over on eWeek. So I'll have that for you. Okay, over on Slashdot, a new plan lets high school students graduate 2 years early. The New York Times is reporting that education commissioner in Connecticut, Kentucky, Maine, New Hampshire, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Vermont have pledged to sign up to 10 to 20 schools, each a pilot project that would allow 10th graders who pass a battery test to get a diploma 2 years and immediately enroll in community college. I know that there's a lot of kids that are super smart, that do advanced classes, and they graduate early, and they go to college still as a really as a teenager. They're not even, half of them aren't even, you know, some of them are not even legal enough yet to drive a vehicle. But this project is being modeled on systems in high-performing nations, including Denmark, England, Finland, France, and Singapore. And they're modeling this program after that. Now, the question I really have is, okay, 10th grader, that's probably a 16-year-old, maybe a 17-year-old. It all depends, 15, 16, 17. It all depends on when their birthday would fall. And I don't know. What are the implications of 16-year-olds going to college? I don't think when I was 16 or when my currently 20-year-old was 16 that going to college was such a smart idea. Not only from emotional implications, but also from really an immaturity level based upon what we all know very well goes on in colleges, especially freshmen being really targeted by sophomores, juniors. A lot of broken hearts. And I don't know if I want a 16-year-old immersed into that environment in mass. You know, the onesie-twosies that are these really super smart kids, but now we're talking about just a mean, you know, these kids that pass a battery test to get a diploma early. I don't know. What do you guys think about this? Love to hear your feedback on this. Boy, I don't know. I guess it depends on the maturity of the individual, but still at 16, don't know if I want him heading off to college or not. All right, if you are, think about this for a second. Think about this scenario. If you're going to be seeing a judge on a case that is dealing with spam, in other words, you're a spammer and you're actually having to go to court because of it, do you think it's a good idea to ask people to spam the judge that's hearing your case with support emails? Well, apparently a few people did in a recent trial. And Kevin Trudeau, who's been battling the FTC concerning his pitches for a diet book, is now spending 30 days in jail because the judge was not very happy about this. You know, it's, you know, okay, he deserves 30 days in jail. What an idiot. Oh, my goodness. All right, this should come as no surprise. I think we should audit the books of American agencies like this. Australian Copyright Agency paid itself more than it distributed to content creators. The Copyright Agency Limited spent more on staff than it gave out to direct content creators. In 2009, it paid its staff $9.4 million, and it dispersed $9.1 million directly to content creators. $9.4 million. How many people have they got working for them? How many people do they have working? $9.4 million? I want to go to work for that company. Can I go to work? Can I come to Australia and work for the Copyright Agency Limited? $9.4 million in salaries. They must have a huge staff. Jeez. Wow. We're on the wrong side of the fence, folks. We really are. Now, we've all talked about these companies that play these shell games with patents. There's been a study done, essentially, I think, by the New York Times, if I was reading this correctly. Yeah, the New York Times found that a research firm was able to dig up that a company called Intellectual Ventures had up to 1,110, yes, you heard me correctly, 1,110 shell companies with which it could use to hide its activities of going after basically buying up and getting patents and then basically doing the little trick that they do, the shell game they do to get force companies to license the to content or license the specific patent. And then actually how it works is they go to a few companies and say, you can use this patent license-free. They get two or three companies to sign up for it. Then they go after the rest of the companies with a lawsuit saying, see, we've got these three companies that are licensed, and you have to pay us now. Either you pay or we're going to take you to court. And that's how they play this little shell game with patents. So this company called Intellectual Ventures is denied. We've never sued nobody. We have a whole, you know, we hold a lot of patents, but we've never sued anyone. But their 1,110 shell companies have done exactly that. Wow. I just wonder how many billions of dollars they've been able to arm wrestle out of companies in the United States. It's really scary. It really is. All right, like you, I probably, how many of you have been watching the Olympics? I've been watching some of the curling was on tonight. That was, whew, that was exciting. It really, really was. There's some of those sports in the Winter Olympics that I just really get charged up for, and, you know, great action. Curling is one of those that, no, if I was given a free ticket to go to curling at the Olympics, I wouldn't go. Now, I will say that, you know, the athletes are great. They're doing good things. You know, they have talent, and you know, I probably couldn't do it, really. But that happened like many hours ago. It wasn't live. And many of the things that's been going on in the Olympics has been like tape delayed. Now, living in Honolulu, you know, at 10:30 at night, and they're showing you downhill skiing, it's like you're looking at your watch. It's like, hey, it's a 2:30 in the morning. Now, I had to do something before I left, and I was watching one of the events. Oh, I was watching the speed skating. It was one of the first events of the Olympics, and we had to go out of the house. My wife said, well, I wish I would really know who won. I said, don't worry. I'll just go over here and Twitter it. We'll find, do you want to know who won? And she kind of looks at me, and she didn't understand what I was talking about because she didn't put two and two together that it was time delayed. And I just went on Twitter and I put the guy's name in, and sure enough, I found out, you know, what he'd gotten a silver medal. And I told her, you know, he got a silver. And she goes, how do you know that? I'm like, this race already happened hours ago, and it's already over the news. And, you know, if you're not on the internet, you wouldn't know. But the NBC delayed telecast have really upset a lot of people. And people, you know, surfing the internet, watching TV, boom, they're, you know, they're getting a spoiler. So they have, people have been actually complaining to other companies, like the Wall Street Journal and sports, different sports. I say, please, please don't put up the scores until it's telecast. But you know those companies aren't going to do that. The Times and all those groups are going to put those up immediately. So, you know, the only thing, you know, I appreciate everything NBC's doing in the space, but, you know, come on. This is, we're 2010. You know, we're all used to the DVR thing, but when we want to watch stuff live, we want to watch it live. We don't want to watch it. It's okay. You play it early, you rerun it that night, you know? I don't get it. I really don't. So hang on a second here. Let me do something. Okay. I just banned cheese pizza. I just re-logged in, and there was an individual last week that was calling himself Pizza Pizza that was an individual that was the one that was the person that ordered the pizzas. Okay. He's worked hard to get back in there. All right, YouTube is joined Hulu in letting content holders block access for TV-connected devices. Huh? YouTube has joined Hulu in letting content holders block access for TV-connected devices. Okay, you know my Roku? You can watch YouTube on there. You know the Apple TV? You can watch YouTube on there. You know many of these devices now have, Boxy has Hulu in it, has YouTube, but YouTube has now made a feature available that would restrict distribution of content into TV-connected devices. I don't get this. Why would some content creator want to block YouTube videos from going on to box sets? Well, something YouTube's doing. Must be they've got some partners there that are not happy about this being syndicated into these devices. But I think it's a very poor move by YouTube. All right, New York Times exec thinks that people are going to pay $20 to $30 per month for the iPad edition of the New York Times. The New York Times think that people are going to pay $20 to $30 per month for the iPad edition. Do you know, I'll pay $2. I'm not going to pay $20. I'll pay $2 for access to the New York Times. Doesn't cost them anything, hardly, to deliver a digital copy. What does it cost to have the New York Times subscription a month? Is it $20 a month? Well, if it's $20 a month, then maybe as long as they can deliver to my doorstep on time, I get the morning paper like I do Honolulu Advertiser, maybe I'll pay the subscription fee. But, you know, come on, $20, $30, that's asinine. A couple bucks a month, they will sell a lot of subscriptions. So, you know, they might get 20 or 30 people that will pay $20 a month. But the majority of us, I don't think. What would you guys pay for the New York Times? Would you guys pay, how much would you pay for the access on the iPad? Now, there was an article on Wired that was showing what Wired's doing with their magazine and how it's going to be interactive and be able to viewed and linked. And the Wired folks, I think, have got it wired and how they're going to introduce their magazine onto the iPad. The New York Times, they're not going to have the time to do all the fancy stuff that Wired's doing with their magazine, you know, once a month versus every day. You're just going to get the majority of the paper. You're not going to get all these super hyperlinks and all this other stuff that they're going to have to get integrated. They will, but not initially. So I'll be curious to see how the experience is. I can tell you, subscribe to the New York Times on the Kindle sucks. It's no fun reading the New York Times on the Kindle. Well, let's talk a little bit about peer-to-peer here. The feds can now search and seize peer-to-peer files without a warrant. The authorities do not need court warrants to view and download files traded on peer-to-peer networks, a federal appeals court said. The Wednesday Street to Zero ruling by the 9th, of course, these rulings always come out of the 9th. The 9th U.S. District Court of Appeals concerned a Nevada man convicted of possessing child porn as part of an FBI investigation. Defendant Charles Barrow, or whatever his name was, claimed the Fourth Amendment required court authorization to search and seize his LimeWire files in 2007. Now, this always goes back to child porn. You know, I am not, people that have child porn, hang them up in the street. You know, that's how I feel about them. They're, it's not good. They need to go away for a long time, never to re-enter society again. But this new ruling basically says that the feds really, at this point, do not need a court warrant to view and download files that you have on your computer that you're offering up as a torrent. In other words, you're feeding this back to other people. So, you know, just be advised, whatever you're sharing on your computer, the federal authorities do not need a warrant to go in there and take a look at what you're sharing, okay? All right, Spacewalkers remove covers and unlock shutters that allow astronauts on the International Space Station to open its new area today. And I haven't heard really any indications. I haven't seen any detailed news reports from what's been experienced by the astronauts. This is reported over on spacetoday.net. Very short article here. But they've got a picture of it from the outside, and it looks pretty amazing, how big the windows are from the outside looking in. I really want to see some images of what it looks like from the inside looking out, and I'm sure we'll see some of those pictures soon. They may be over on NASA's website. The next shuttle mission has been postponed. Processing delays caused by cold weather in Florida have forced NASA to postpone the next shuttle mission to early April. The STS-131 was supposed to to fly on March 18th, but they've not been able to transfer the Shuttle Endeavour to the Vehicle Assembly Building because of temperatures at the Kennedy Space Center below the limits for transporting the orbiter. So they're going to get that moved, and we're looking now again for a early April launch versus a March launch. I think we talked about this a little bit on the last show. Segem Orga, this is over on Engadget, Segem Orga shows off a pricey Sim-Fi prototype at MWC, and this is a pretty cool, and if we didn't talk about it, we're going to talk about it again. What this is a SIM card for your phone, and on it is a Wi-Fi hotspot. So you can have a hotspot anywhere between 5 and 50 meters in size, and they say it's not too bad on the battery, but I would be surprised if that was really the case. But anyway, it's designed to fit in any standard SIM slot, and you're basically going to be able to have a Wi-Fi hotspot via your SIM card. The pricing is a little pricey at this point, between $5,000 and, these are just prototypes. $7,000 for a prototype. I don't think these are going to be in cards any or in our phones anytime soon. All right, Kingston has shipped a 256-gigabyte Data Traveler 310 USB flash drive. Wow. Now, if you need that much storage on a keychain, it's going to set you back for a very inexpensive $1,108. So, if you're looking for a 256-gig flash drive, it's only going to set you back $1,100. Yeah, I think I'll go right out and buy two or three. Not. The big news out of NEC. NEC has made a new benchmark. They've been able to get 16 gigabits per second through a USB 3.0 interface. Now, this is big, and this really comes very close to competing with light peak speed that's trying to be introduced by Intel. So, NEC has demonstrated this new chipset. Now, this is what we talked about with the folks at Seagate. If you remember, the USB 3 protocol and cabling and everything else is designed to get you these super high speed transfers. But where the limitation is going to come in is actually in the physical hardware, the chipsets that actually connect the wires together, you know, to make that speed possible. And that is one of the reasons why Seagate came out with a eSATA card to be used with their USB 3.0 drive, just because of all of the hardware on our laptops to this point are not really, they're not ready. And you're going to start seeing USB 3.0 laptops this year. But if NEC has been able to make a chipset capable of 16 gigs per second, this is huge. And that's big. And they found a way to overcome signal interference that have been problematic to USB 3.0's increase in speed over time. And really, traditional USB 3.0 right now is really only about a 3 times increase over standard USB. All right, we talked about Entourage. Actually, Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine.com interviewed Entourage, the Entourage Edge creators at CES. That video is up on Geek News Central. You can do a search for it. But Entourage Edge has suffered a month delay and minor price bump from what they reported at CES. The $490 price point that they had advertised is going up just a little bit, and it's going to probably slip shipping on that for March. So I know a number of you had actually emailed me and were pretty excited about this particular device. So if you're looking for it, it's probably slipped to March on shipping. So not too much of a slip, but be available shortly. All right, HP is going to undercut the iPad price. And, of course, iPad is being rumored to undercut Amazon ebook prices. If they do that, I'll be shocked. It's going to be very hard for them to do that. So we'll see what happens. Now, any of you thinking about buying the HP iPad versus, or the HP device versus the iPad? I don't know what the actual price is. Let me look here if they actually list. The Wall Street Journal has a pair of sources saying HP will be meeting with U.S. and Taiwanese partners to tweak prices and features on its upcoming slate. The move is meant to capitalize on a recent uptick in tablet interest in hope of undercutting the $629 price of the similarly spec 3G-enabled iPad. So we'll see what happens with this. So apparently HP has deliberately held back on announcing a ship date or pricing so that it can tweak the slate accordingly and to hopefully compete with the iPad. So I haven't done too much research on the slate. I'm going to have to do some digging up of that. If any of you have seen some good videos of any demos, I'd love to see a demo on how it stacks up. All right, the folks at CNET have done a pretty cool video inside Mission Control at the Olympics, and this is pretty impressive. If you can imagine having to support multimedia-wise the Olympics and all the cameras and all the feeds and all, you have got to see this video by CNET. Very, very cool. Now, you know, it hasn't been too long. What has it been, 10 years since Back to the Future? 20 years the Back to the Future movies? I don't know how long those movies have been out. But, you know, if you remember the mad scientist feeding the car with a beer and some bread and some garbage, and, you know, he was making his power for the, you know, Back to the Future car, his fusion home energy reactor. Well, it's scientists have now discovered that fruit peels and newspaper can be turned into ethanol fuel. So we'll see. The question is, does it take more energy to convert the fruit peel and newspaper into ethanol than what you get in return in fueling product? And this article is over on SciOrg. So I have this linked up for you in the show notes, of course. And, of course, just as a reminder, if you're signed up for the newsletter, the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show when we post it. It covers all the content that I cover today. If you guys want to see your taxpayer dollars in work, you guys got to check out this Python explosive snake and how they're using it in Afghanistan. It's a new, for a better word, a road clearer that soldiers are using in Afghanistan right now. Pretty impressive video. I have it linked up in the show notes. Gizmodo's got a good article on Gizmodo has an article on the unofficial Windows Phone 7 strategy. Some information's been released or leaked, and the folks at Gizmodo have recapped essentially what the plan is for the Windows Phone 7 strategy. Doesn't it sound weird to say Windows? Every time I want to say Windows Mobile 7 instead of Windows Phone 7, it's just, you know, they're trying to say iPhone, but Windows Phone 7, it just doesn't, just stick with Windows Mobile, folks. But anyway, this is a good write-up by the folks at Gizmodo. Lots of good information in there. I think they've got a fighting chance. I really do. And looking at the video of the phone and what they're bringing to market, I really do. I think they've got a fighting chance, and it'll be interesting to see how this breaks out. Hey, over on Mark Kanner's website at broadbandmechanics.com, he's got three pictures here, three NASA pictures of Andromeda, and they're pretty cool. I've actually updated one of my, the computer here that I have with me on, up to this point, I've been running that Delta 5 background image. And so I've updated it today to this Andromeda, one of the Andromeda space images that was taken by the Hubble. Have this linked up for you in the show notes to check out. GigaOm really comes down hard on Google, especially Google CEO Eric Schmidt and his response to the Buzz and the privacy issues that happened when Buzz was launched. Now, you know, I'm pretty public. I don't really have anything to hide. I don't email people that I don't want other people to know that I don't email and so forth. And I don't do business email on my regular Gmail account. I, you know, we have, Raw Voice has a, we use a Gmail services, but we don't, don't tie it to Buzz or anything like that. And so my geeknews@gmail.com address, which I'm using for my Buzz account, about the privacy stuff, but the folks over at GigaOm were basically saying the proper response that they should be making to the FTC and the Canadian Privacy Commissioner is, I'm sorry, instead of trying to make up excuses, because there was a lot of people upset about the privacy issues that happened when Buzz was launched, and for good reason. All right, this is probably my article of the night here, folks, and you got to check this out. hold on to your hats. No, hold on to your wallets. Time Warner Cable super fast broadband rollout is apparently underway in some markets. Now, as you guys know, Comcast has been really busy rolling out DOCSIS 3.0. And Comcast charges business customers $189 for 50 meg per second service in San Francisco, which, you know, that's a pretty good price. I would pay $189 for 50 megs down and a couple of megs up. I would be ecstatic to pay that on a monthly basis for a business account. Well, Time Warner, who has been very slow to roll out their DOCSIS 3.0 service, and actually those of you in Cincinnati are going to get it first. And, you know, Cincinnati's, boy, there's lots of jobs going. Ohio hasn't been hard hit by jobs at all. There's no recession going on in Ohio. But for 20 megs down and 2 megs up, they want $309 a month. For 50 megs down and 5 megs up, hey, you get another 30 megs down and you get another 3 megs up for just another $40. $349.95. 50 megs down, 5 megs up, $349. You know, and being that I live in Hawaii and Time Warner is my cable provider, and being that I will probably have to pay these outrageous prices, I'll probably do it and grin and bear it. But considering that a T1 line, you know, 15 years ago was easily $1,200-$1,500 a month, probably it still pains me, that much money. My sister-in-law in Japan has 50 megs down and 5 megs up for like $40 a month. That's what just rips me. Now, the question will be, is what is the pricing going to be for residential customers? Is it going to be half that much? Is it going to be $174 or $150 for the service for residential customers? That might be, I could swallow that, I think. But $309, 20 megs down for 2 megs up. Whew, boy, that thing better. It better be a really, truly 2 megs up or that 5 megs up for $349. But, boy, that's a hard one. That, you know how much, you know how many servers I can buy at $349 a month? I can buy like 6 servers at GoDaddy for $349 a month. It's crazy. All right, even today, the folks I was talking about with, actually doing some consulting with today, we were talking about the set-top boxes. Talk about Netflix. Talking about, and you know, when I run into people that aren't super geeky, and they're telling me that they're watching Netflix stream video on their Roku box, and I say, well, how did you hear about the Roku box? And they know about it. That excites me. It really, really does. And there's a good article here on newtv.com, newtv.com, talk about Netflix broadband and our watch instantly on a big screen experience. And you guys know I've watched during the Christmas holidays, my wife and I watched from episode, or actually season one of Lost, all the way up to the current season, or last season, essentially nonstop, and we did it via Netflix and our Roku box. So really, Netflix is, if anyone's going to get mad at Netflix, it's going to be the cable providers at this point, because I know that a lot of us are pulling down a lot of video that we haven't in the past. You know, just watching on a computer is one thing. I know my daughter does that, but watching on a TV, completely different experience. And hopefully here in the near future, you're going to be able to experience this show directly on the Roku. Ha-ha. Over on smartmobs.com. Of course, you can always do that, already do that through Blip or some of the other services, but I guess something special coming. All right, over on smartmobs.com, 18 years of technology, and I'm just going to... it's a cartoon, and I really wish I was at home because I could put this up for the Ustream folks. And I can't, you're going to have to go to the website. You're going to have to come over to Geek News Central, look for Smart Mobs in the show notes, and just look at this cartoon and tell me how true this really, really is. And you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. News out of brainstormtech.blogs.fortune.cnn.com. I think that's long enough. I think I'll have that for a domain name for my next blog. Anyway, it's over on CNN Money. Apple is concealing iPad freight records. And so everyone's trying to figure out when the iPads are going to arrive. And so a bunch of information that was requested to be freed up via the Freedom of Information Act has been released, and folks are doing a business intelligence now on those shipping documents. But we'll see what happens here with if they're able to tell when those actual iPads are actually going to dock and be unloaded and be ready for distribution. I see a message here that WordPress.com is down, and don't know how long it's been down, if it's back up or not. But it's unusual that site would go down. That's a rare event that's happening. And it's just updated. I actually refreshed the page and it said it's back up. So if you've got a website around WordPress.com, it probably was down for a little bit today. Now, you guys know that I've had a lot of positive things and negative things to say about Sony over the past 5 years. Matter of fact, there was a while there where I was actually on a Sony product boycott. And today, Sony Ericsson CEO has announced that Google had asked them to build the Nexus One, and they refused. You know, if Google came to me and asked me to build a product and be the primary vendor, I would, like, say, yeah, especially if you're going to be able to make some money. But they said that they were worried about brand dilution. I think they already got issues with brand dilution. You know, who has a Sony phone? I don't have a Sony phone. Do you know anybody that's got a Sony phone? Do any of our listeners, email me if you have a Sony phone. Please, please tell me if you do. And they refused to build one for Google. Makes me wonder. A lot of great leadership over there at Sony right now. Jeez. All right, let me go ahead and get into the voicemail comments. We got a few for you tonight. And, of course, the intro tonight was by Trucker Tom. I want to thank him for that. It's my on the road introduction. But these voicemails, I haven't reviewed these, and there's a number of them, so we'll get right into them here. Here we go. Again, if you want to leave a comment on voicemail, you can do that at 619-342-7365. Here we go.
Hey, Todd, this is Ben Straw from Ben's Tech Show. Just want to let you know that your podcast that I downloaded, 1552, I believe, there's something wrong with it. About an hour in, you had the tempo go really low and really, it was really disturbing. So I just want to let you know about that, all right? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Actually, one of the folks on Twitter said is one of my listeners has actually said, I thought something evil was going on. Someone said it really sounded spooky. I haven't actually listened to it, but he said it actually scared him. And I guess he was driving on a dark road and it just, the tone changed. And he kind of freaked out. So, yeah, you know, it happens once in a while. So, let me go ahead and play the next. And thanks for the heads up on that. And all of you that sent in emails, I definitely appreciate it. Okay, here comes the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd, it's Nick Jones. First of all, I'd just like to start out and say I'm kind of jealous of you. You live in Honolulu, Hawaii. I would just like to say I've just joined the family or the
Hello?
You were there, dude. I don't know what happened. Did the line sound like it went dead? That was weird. You're jealous I live in Hawaii? You know, someone's got to live there. That's what I tell people. That pisses them off. But, Yeah, someone has to live there. Someone has to live, you know, basically pay the airlines lots of money to go back and forth and pay the outrageous prices for milk and gas and everything else. I, you know, as much as I complain about it, I sure do love it. I really do. But you got to come visit Hawaii sometime. Sound like you're a young listener. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Ohana. All right, here's the next voicemail.
Hey, sorry about that, Todd.
Oh.
My first message did not record or something.
No worries.
My phone dropped out. But anyway, let me expound on what I was saying. So I'm kind of jealous of you, first of all, because you live in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. And I realized that a couple days ago, you and the state of Hawaii were the only state, as I take it, in the United States that did not have snow on the ground somewhere.
Are you sure?
Well, I live in Birmingham, Alabama, and you probably know that Alabama is in the middle of the deep south, and we usually don't get snow, but we actually got 1.5 or 2 inches the other day, and I don't, you know, snow's great, but, you know, it's starting to snow again. I don't really like that. But anyway, Todd, I'm going on 16 years old. I've been doing podcasting since I was about 14. I just switched over to my brand new site. If you would like to check that out, it's pvcasttv.com. But Todd, I am using a program called Wirecast, and what it is, it's pretty much a virtual TriCaster. Very nice, especially for someone who cannot spend $5,000 or $6,000 on a TriCaster. But I love what a TriCaster does, and this isn't the next best thing. But anyway, let me get to my question. I was wondering if you could expound on the Ohanasaurus. I know you just named it a couple days ago. Can you maybe give me the specs or somehow or how you built it? You know, just kind of expound on that. I have a few questions. I know that Leo Laporte, you're probably familiar with him. He also has a Skype machine, and unfortunately I have not been able to contact him. He's a pretty big man, but hey, I'd love to figure out how you made that and things of that nature. I would love to make one myself. I'm a hardware geek. So I have actually just joined the Ohana. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. And if you don't mind, also maybe tell me how you hook that up to your mixer. Because, you know, I have a 10-channel mixer, and I was wondering how you get so many outputs to it. But anyway, thanks, Todd. Great show. I'd love to meet you sometime, so if you ever come to the Deep South, I'm pretty sure you don't very often, let me know. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for the call, and, you know, we probably did have snow, because on top of Mauna Kea, this time of year, there's always snow, and they actually go skiing up there, so it's a good chance that Hawaii had snow as well. A lot of people forget that we have snow up there. So far as the Ohanasaurus goes, really, I copied it strictly from Leo's show. And if you do a search on the internet for Skypesaurus, just instead of Ohanasaurus, do Skypesaurus, do a search for that. Leo has a wiki article that links to every part that's in the build-out of that device. It's actually, I think it cost me around $150, maybe a little more for the actual computer, $70, I think, for the monitor. I probably got more money in cables than I do in actual hardware. What I had to do, and this is the trick about wiring this up to a mixer. If your mixer has an aux send, you run the output of the, you know, you come right out of your speaker jack on your computer. You go right into a channel on your mixer. Now, the challenge with that is sometimes there's an impedance mismatch. And I've got some devices that I've bought that are about $70 each that go in between the computer and the actual mixer. So I put it, basically, I send it into a regular input, and then what I do is every other channel is basically there's a little aux send, and then I send the aux send back into the mic. Now, I've got a 16-channel mixer, so I'm able to do 4 aux sends, and you need a mixer. If you're going to not do a telephone conversation through a wired connection, and you want to put together 2-channel Skypesaurus, you're going to need a mixer that has at least 2 aux sends. And so you just look on your mixer and see what you've got. If you've got two aux-sends, you're halfway there. If nothing else, one machine, and almost all mixers have a single aux-send. So just definitely check that out. I'll get you a link to the devices that I use to actually do the impedance mismatch between the computer and the mixer, because if you don't do that, it becomes a little bit, you get a little hum, and it can be a little annoying, so you have to put those in there sometimes, not always. You won't know until you wire it up and whether or not your mixer can handle it or not. And hey, I have to check out your show. Send me a link to it, and we'll definitely have to get it up on the show notes. But drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, with your link to your podcast, and we'll definitely check it out. If it's a tech podcast, and if you've done 7 shows, you definitely want to come over and join the Tech Podcast Network. That's where you want to be listed. Okay, let me go ahead and play the last voicemail, and then we'll get into email comments.
This is Richard Kirkland calling from Columbus, Georgia.
Hey, Richard.
In regards to episode 522 about the individuals who had their Apple IDs locked out, the hackers, I have also had this happen to my Apple ID. And I sent an email to Apple, and they told me how to fix it. And it turned out what it was, I had changed my ID to iTunes, but I had another program that was accessing that same ID automatically. And I did not change the ID in that program. And after a certain number of attempts, Apple locked the ID out for my own security because it looked like somebody else was trying to get into my account. I sent them an email. They told me how to take care of it. No problem. So there may be something more like that going on in this story with them hacking their phones and all. Just thought I'd let you know and like your show. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for that. That's a good one to know. Wow. So there we get you fixed up and get you back in line, huh? Get you hooked back up. Well, that's good. And they shut that out for security purposes. That's a good one to know. I'm sure that will come up, and probably someone will say, oh my goodness, I've been locked out of my phone and have to deal with that as well. But appreciate your feedback. And if anybody has any feedback on the shows, 619-342-7365 is the 24/7 voicemail hotline where you can call and leave comments on the show. Well, folks, shockingly, and this is really shocking, no email. I think this is the first time ever we have not had any email come in. And unless I'm missing something, I'm looking through the list here. And definitely since the 13th. So I think people got freaked out about the last show or something. But anyway, that's a wrap for us tonight, folks. And I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me. I definitely appreciate it. It's been fun. And I'm going to get to, actually, it's pretty early here yet. And I need to run out and grab a quick bite to eat, probably get something fast food, come up and pack up and be ready to head out to the airport in the morning. But don't know exactly what my travel schedule is. I'm looking right now as to working with the gal that does some of my arrangements for consulting. And I think I'm going to be in Honolulu at least 2 weeks. I may have to make a run to the East Coast for another short trip at some point here in early March. I know I'm coming back to Texas in March. I will say one thing. We've made a decision to go to Raw Voice has made a decision to go to NAB. And it's the National Association of Broadcasters. It's a convention that's in Vegas. That goes down the week of April 12th. And looking at everything that I've got going on and the amount of travel I've done already and the things I have to do, I may not be able to go to South by Southwest. It's just at this point, I don't know, maybe I'll be able to bop down for 2 or 3 days in the middle of March to come to the event. I'd like to come for the entire interactive period, but doing a week at South by Southwest and then doing another week at NAB just may not work out. Mama likes it when I'm home, and I definitely run into issues when I'm gone too much. And that might be just pressing it a little bit too much. And again, South by Southwest was always an option, and I definitely want to go. But boy, oh boy, I don't know if I'm going to be able to squeeze it in. I'll keep you advised, and if I go, you guys will be the first to know, of course. But we're definitely going to be out at NAB in April, and we're going to be talking with vendors out there about our generator product. That's the product that drives all our properties at Raw Voice. Basically, it's the back-end product, and we've got some very, very, very exciting stuff coming with that. You know, even after 5 years of active development and continuing to grow the product, we've got it on countless sites that are actually running it as their primary portal, video and audio portal. And I kind of call it like your own type of YouTube. And so we think we're ready at this point to introduce it to the rest of the world at NAB. And it's a part of our business focus this year to basically expand beyond some of the stuff that we've traditionally done in years past. And I'm excited to be going out to NAB. We're going to be in the Broadband Innovations booth. I think we're going to be in HH is the actual booth we're going to be there. I think that's what I got back from NAB today. But look forward to going out to that event in April and promoting basically our IP, our software product, software as a service product. And we'll be talking more about that in the future. But anyway, that's it for now. And it's been my pleasure to bring you this show here from Central Texas. There was no snow here. I see a little bit of on the ground when I flew in on Tuesday, but I guess they got whacked as well last week, so everyone's been talking about it. But until next week, we'll be back in Honolulu, back in the studio, back in, you know, with a good internet connection, with good cameras and everything else. Everyone take care, and we'll see you next time. Aloha.